and budget for fiscal year 2013-14.
Mr. Mayor, before you open the public hearing, we just have a very, very brief staff report.
Thank you.
And essentially, the purpose of this public hearing is to hear from our residents, businesses, nonprofit organizations, so that they can provide the board with their input and views, and also for the board to provide policy direction and their thoughts to the town manager and staff. We are, of course, at the beginning of the budget for 13-14, and our goals for this upcoming budget are very simple. There are three of them. We want to implement the board's strategic priorities, the five priorities that you've outlined. We want to control costs while improving services, and we want to develop a balanced budget with no property tax rate increase. Those are the three goals that we are starting out this process with. We do have some challenges, both on the revenue and the expense side. One is, of course, I think if you turn on any news program these days, you'll hear about sequestration and how that could send the economy into a tailspin. Locally, I think we're doing fine. Our revenues have stabilized. We're looking at 1-2% growth. But, you know, sequestration talks, March 1st, et cetera, et cetera. As well as at the state level, the General Assembly has talked about efforts to modernize the revenue sources. I think there have been some bills to eliminate the state income tax and replace it with sales taxes, et cetera. So really, to me, our biggest revenue challenges for 13-14 don't lie within the town of Carrboro, but really what's going on at the federal and state level. But if all those things hold true, we should probably be in pretty good shape for 13-14 on the revenue side. In terms of expenses, we've talked about a lot of these things, a low inflation rate of about 1.9%, our solid waste management costs due to the closure of the landfill, the principal payments, about $300,000 a year, are going to be kicking in 13-14 for the sidewalk and greenway bonds. Capital improvements programs have been typically underfunded. Also, the possible federal and state impacts to human services and housing programs, mm-hmm. and salary and benefits costs, inflation, health insurance, retirement, you know, the usual types of things. So we're going to have our challenges set out for us, but again, our goal is to bring you a balanced budget with no property tax rate increase. In terms of some of the dates that will be coming up, the department requests are due to the manager's office on the 21st, this Thursday. We'll go through an internal process. We'll present the recommended budget to the board on May the 7th. Your first work session is scheduled for May the 14th with a public hearing on the 21st, and then you'll have a second work session if necessary with the budget adoption for 13-14 scheduled for June 18th, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. I have one person signed up and maybe one or two more people I see in the audience who are perhaps here to speak on this. Do y'all want to go ahead and hear from them? Robert Dowling, if you would come up to the podium.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Board of Aldermen. My name is Robert Dowling. I'm the Executive Director of Community Home Trust, and as you know, we implement inclusionary housing here in Carrboro, in Chapel Hill, and even in Hillsborough. I'm here tonight to thank you for your support that you have provided us for so many long years, and to ask that you continue to support that for many years into the future. Today, there are 200 homes in the Home Trust inventory of affordable homes, and we are expected to sell approximately 25 additional homes in the next 6 months, which is somewhat daunting. 18 of those 25 will be in the 140 West Franklin development in Chapel Hill, and six of them will be in Carrboro. If we can sell those six, that will bring our inventory in Carrboro to 33 homes. I say if because we have been struggling to sell homes in Ballantyne. I've addressed this to the board before. Eight are built, four are sold, four are unsold. I think we have someone wants to sign a contract for one of those four. But we have struggled to sell those townhomes. They're nice, they're right, they're nicely priced right. The development's a perfectly nice place to live. But it's a little, feels a little remote to people, and most importantly, it's not on the bus. And so it's, that's the deterrent. Obviously, we have, could not have achieved what we have achieved over the years without your support and the support of the other local governments. Excuse me. We're again asking the town for $34,000 to support our operations. This is the same amount that we have received from the town for the past five fiscal years. Just so you know, our operating budget in 13-14 is $685,000. That's about 2.4% more than the current fiscal year. And next, and our budget next year includes about a $40,000 deficit. And we will cover the deficit from our reserves. As the aldermen know, that we have faced challenges keeping our homes affordable and well-maintained for many years. We've been talking about this since 2006. And we have addressed those challenges using federal funds, home funds, and CDBG funds. More recently, we face even more significant challenges with banks. Our go-to bank was RBC Bank. Last year, when they were purchased by PNC, they just cut us off, and they don't make loans to our home buyers any longer. All banks have tightened their lending standards, making it more difficult for all of us to obtain loans, particularly low-income people. And this has become a major challenge for us, which I don't think I was talking about a year ago. Notwithstanding these challenges, I can tell you the staff of the Home Trust and the board of the Home Trust is committed to providing inclusionary housing that really works for this community, integrating low-income homes into market-rate neighborhoods and doing so successfully. This work has gotten harder. I've been doing it for 15 years. You'd think it might get easier. It doesn't. It's gotten harder. And without your support, we certainly couldn't do it at all. So thank you for that. Yes.
I was going to ask you if you would tell the board the good news about the award.
The Pauli Murray Award.
Yes.
Crystal Fisher, our sales manager, is being awarded the Pauli Murray Social, I'm not sure the exact name
Social
of the award.
Social Justice
Award. On Sunday by the Human Relations Commission.
Awesome.
Being presented Sunday afternoon in the Hillsborough Senior Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Crystal Fisher, thank you. Thanks, Jackie. One other comment I have, not as the Executive Director of Community Home Trust, just as a Carrboro citizen for the last 18-plus years. There's wonderful things about Carrboro, the 4th of July and Halloween and parades and Carrboro Day and all that stuff, and it's all great. But the best, single best day in Carrboro is in September, the Carrboro Music Festival. I just want to say, whatever we do, no matter how tough the budget gets, you can raise money, I will contribute. That's the greatest day in the history of this town. I love it, and I appreciate your all support of it. And whoever runs it, I don't know how Jerry does it, but it's wonderful. So thank you all for doing that.
Thanks,
all right,
Robert.
Thanks, thank Robert. You. And yeah, we'll recognize both Jerry and everybody on Carrboro's Recreation and Park staff for the role, and actually several other departments that help contribute to that, police and fire and public works. It's a great event, it is. Thanks, Robert. And thank you, Robert, also for all that your organization does. Robert is the only person I have signed up to speak. Were there others who wanted to comment on the budget priorities? Really? Not? I see like three different people whose jobs might be affected thereby, but okay. That's fine. Very good. All right. Are there other comments that the Board of Aldermen members would like to make?
I'm always frustrated when we come to this point of the public hearing for our budget and no one shows up. And I really would like to think creatively on how to get people participating in this more actively. And I'm not sure what it might be, but I've brought it up in the past, maybe in some of our bus stops, we can have town billboards announcing these kinds of things that are very important for the community to be involved with. So a billboard with the date of when this public hearing happens and a little explanation of what it means and how we encourage the public to participate. Another opportunity might be, there's a group out of Greensboro who do participatory budgeting projects, and this is a new form of budgeting that's taking off across the country, including one model is allocating money just without any specific purpose, but having a process through which the community is involved and identifies how they'd like to use that money. I mean, just generally participating through this process is an opportunity for the public to do that. So, but also just more generally, I had the opportunity to travel through Europe, in some towns they have what is the agenda posted on like billboards in public places. So like in the town commons could have kind of a plywood thing with a kiosk over it, and you could have information about what is coming up in some of these meetings. And I think that might be one way to put it out there, because unless you're on our website or, in this case, reading the Chapel Hill Herald or listening to WCHL, you won't hear about it. So maybe that's a proposal I have for some budget allocation to set up some kiosk like that. It could be at the town commons or even at the corner of Weaver Street and Greensboro Street. That public parking lot has a green space there that's pretty central.
When the discussion about the ATM at the town commons came up, one of the things that we talked about is having in that structure a billboard. So I think it would make perfect sense for this to be one of the items that could be on that structure. So I think that it's already in place to have the structure around the ATM, and in which case this could, this and any other set of notices could be a part.
Mm-hmm. In our work to redesign our website, and I know that's still very much a work in progress, and thank you everybody who's bleeding over that. Is there anything built into that will be increasing what citizens know about things like public hearing budgets and they can access materials?
Well, I think the overall design goal of the website would be to make it more user-friendly, not from a organizational sense, but just from a, if I want to do this or I want to do that, mm-hmm. or what's going on in Carville type of thing. So I think that we could certainly, we want to encourage more people to visit the site. It's more functional oriented rather than town organizations. So I think that we could integrate that in.
And I wonder how much we're using social media to promote things like the budget public hearing. I know we now have a Facebook page, and so what happens if we all go and we like the thing on Facebook page about come to the public hearing, if each one of us does that, you know? Or if we get our Twitter accounts going, says she who has no cell phone. But if we got that,
if somebody got their Twitter account.
Yeah, if Michelle got her Twitter account going. Or, you know, does the town have a LinkedIn section? You know, is there a LinkedIn community for the town? So I really think that since people now go to social media so much more than they go to anything else, it's just amazing how that's taking off, that if we're worried about not getting enough people, it's because we have fewer newspapers available and we're spitting in the wind instead of going with what people are doing.
If I could ask, this is something that I've really grappled with probably over the last 6 to 9 months, and that is, you know, with social media and with, you know, okay, your website's there and people are going to come to your website, but how much, we are using, you know, Facebook, Twitter to some extent, but it's, you know, fragmented within the different departments, and, you know, how much do we, or is there a, would we like to try to push our message out more rapidly, more quickly, be more interactive with it.
That seems like a full discussion that we should have at some point is
the board, yeah.
Because that's really important in maintaining the website, too.
Mm-hmm. I also think that that's something that as the branding process gets underway, maybe that's something we can discuss. And I would propose putting that on the retreat agenda.
It's a good point, Lydia.
Randy, that's a good thought, and it's a discussion I think we should expand a little bit. I will make 2 points. One, in response to what Jackie said about the website, and I know under its current form, there are a few kind of email lists that I'm on that I get for different things. And like one's the business one, one's events, one's there's three or four of them. And I hope on when we have the new website, and it was a little bit challenging to get to for me to sign up for them. And I think when we have the new site, if we can just even have a to be placed on the town mailing list. I mean, just something simple, you know. So like maybe once a week, you know, if something goes out, here's what's going on or whatever, you know. Is that
will be on there, and it will also allow the functionality to be more specific. So some people may be interested in transportation, but they don't really want to know about. Recreation and parks every Saturday, so it will have the ability to sign up for more specific items, more what you see on other websites right now, Twitter, RSS feeds, Facebook. Mm-hmm. It'll have all of the social media applications, and at a click of a button, it'll allow the user to sign up.
Okay, so that's one great thing, and the other is I know we make pretty good use of our neighborhood listservs when we have. Burglaries, or when we have things kind of going on that we want to make sure the neighbors know about. And I know we get those pretty often. I'm not sure I saw one about this hearing, so that might be a thought to put that in the queue. Maybe, Matt, I don't know if we did or not, but that might be another one to put in the queue for the public hearing when this comes around every year.
Sammy.
Back to the physical space opportunities for providing information. I do want to encourage us more to think of stepping out of the virtual realm, because that's all that we keep going back to is like, let's go online. I mean, there are ways in which it could be a hybrid. For example, QR codes are ways that you could use your phone and scan into if you want more detail on what an agenda is. But simply printing out an agenda in a large format on a little thing in the heart of where most people walk would be a huge step in the direction of what I'm describing. And then if you have a QR code next to it, then people could just scan with their phones and go to that agenda item and learn more about it. Mm-hmm. That would be a very easy thing to do and would probably cost a couple $100. I could put up a piece of plywood and some sticks and wheat paste something downtown.
And he probably will. Okay, I wanted to make one other point about this, and then we'll move on to the budget at large more. But just to say, this taps into one of the items I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the fact that, you know, it's not just a question of how we kind of push information from the town out the door, but how we use the internet and whatever information technology to allow for the public to have some input to us, you know, how we get some feedback from the public and how you make it easy for, and I think the point you're making, Mr. Manager, is important, which is, you know, we have some key staff members who make a point of, we do a great job in economic and community development, for example, in having a presence on social media and kind of pushing our message out there and letting folks know about things that are happening with respect to economic development, which is great. It would also be useful for people to be able to give us feedback about there's a pothole here on North Greensboro Street or wherever And the point is not just an email address that you can sort of email the town at large, but making it hopefully making it possible for folks to kind of get their message as directly as possible to the relevant department or the relevant person within a department to kind of let our town know the kind of feedback that we need to hear about. And let me be clear. As far as I know, there are no potholes on North Greensboro Street. Good job, George. No critique here. But the point being, that type of thing, you know, that's really the question. And I don't imagine at all that there is some kind of magical way to make that easy. But point is to kind of have that objective in mind as you're thinking about this information technology and interaction type of issue. Okay. Moving on from kind of the website or internet presence kinds of issues,
yeah.
Michelle.
I had two questions about the budget, and one is the Environmental Advisory Board had talked about whether the town would apply for the grant for rollout containers. Mm-hmm. Not rollout containers, recycling containers. Mm-hmm. And pedestrian. The grant's due March 1st, and we had talked a little bit about mm-hmm. potentially that happening, and I just wanted to hear an update because the match for that grant would be included in next year's budget, and mm-hmm. I wanted to, EAB is eager to hear
sure.
what is happening.
Right. Okay. what I recall from the latest email is that we would have a grant application to the board before March 1st, and what we were looking at is putting recycling containers in the downtown area.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we would, you know, Public Works would pick those up and take it out to the Smith Level Road, and Orange County would pick it up. I think that's where we were landing with it, rather than maybe directly into some of the other things that Orange County is currently providing in terms of recycling.
So are we applying for that by March 1st, which is next?
It's my understanding that we are.
Okay. And the match for that would be in this budget that we're talking
correct.
About.
I think that the match is maybe in the $7,000.
Yeah, it's just $7,000.
$6,500 range or something.
The total cost is about $8,000. Our match was about $1,600.
Okay.
$1,600. The Public Works Director says our match would be $1,600.
And theirs would be $7,000.
So you'll see that before March 1. What's 26? I know we're going to have to squeeze it in because we've got the February 26th public hearing for CVS. So we'll work it in, but I think we can get it. So it's a talk.
Okay, and then my other question is about, do you anticipate, and I guess it's a question for us too, the out-of-agency funding increasing as nonprofits and human services are decreasing their, you know, not getting funding? Or
right.
are we going to provide more out of
Well, I think
agency
that
funding.
Certainly has been a priority of the board, and you know, for instance, the Community Home Trust has had the same flat funding for 5 years at mm-hmm. $34,000, and we know that inflation has been anywhere between 2-3%, and so it's really eaten away. So, I think there has been I think that there's a priority, and certainly we'll do everything that we can to try to take care of those folks and. And we'll also see what happens at the federal and state level. I think there's just going to be more pressure on us.
Right.
So certainly, I think you're sensitive to it. Excuse me.
I said, I think you can count on that.
Yeah.
You know, that gets right to one of the few things I wanted to give some feedback on, particularly on the budget, is and manager and I have kind of talked a little bit about this idea, but I think, you know, it hopefully there will be a point where our affordable housing revolving loan fund or trust fund for the town of Carrboro will have some significant resources to work with. Right now, we don't have a lot in there. In fact, I don't think we have anything available in our affordable housing trust fund. We have over the years received a couple of payments in lieu, and we've also, I think, to the town government's credit, we've also moved that money out the door and made it available to some people who need some help, especially with people who are low income existing owner occupants and who need some help in kind of hanging on and maintaining a reasonable quality of life in their homes that they have inherited or that they've owned for a long time. But I feel like this is a this function of local government to assist in not in every willy-nilly kind of situation that might come up, but in some particular situations is something that's very important. And I'm hopeful that eventually we're going to get to the point where we've received some significant contributions from developers in the forms of payment in lieu of affordable housing or that type of thing in the future. But right now we really have literally nothing to work with. And so I would just like to suggest, not necessarily as a super high priority, but as something that we ought to be looking at, that we look for the opportunity to put at least a small amount of money, and I guess I'm thinking of, you know, something on the order of $10,000 into that fund from in our next fiscal year, to ensure that when our community development department is confronted with some of the more dramatic circumstances that we sometimes run into. And I really am right at this moment thinking of a particular circumstance in one of our lower income neighborhoods in Carrboro, where there's a family who there's young school age children who are living in the home. Their parents are living there. It's a home that they have inherited. They're very low income people, and the condition in the home is have reason to understand is extremely bad, and there are carpet beetles, which are, I don't know if y'all know about carpet beetles, but they live in carpet and textiles in the home, and they bite anybody who lives in the home, especially at night. It means you can't get it. They're very similar to bed bugs, essentially. They're not exactly the same creature, but you know, it's a situation where there are young folks who are going to Carrboro Elementary School who are practically unable to stay awake during class because they haven't been able to sleep through the night. These types of situations, and they're not necessarily huge budget items to try and deal with making the necessary repairs to assist a family like that. I want to throw that idea out there that maybe it's worth putting a little bit of money forward to try and deal with some of the most dire circumstances that certain families are facing in our community. There is a state program that provides assistance to families who have this problem if one of the members of the household is a senior citizen, or if one of the members of the household is physically disabled or physically or mentally disabled. But for example, the particular household I'm talking about right now, it just so happens that there's nobody who's 65 years old, and there's nobody who has what the state of North Carolina considers a disability. But still, there's kids who are, you know, trying to grow up and who are trying to be students in our public school system, who can't even stay awake during their classes because of the infestation in their home, and nobody available to help. And so, anyway, just
Mark,
the suggestion.
Let me ask you one question. So, essentially, I hear what you're saying. I think it's a really insightful idea. Were we to be able to seed, you know, the affordable housing trust in that way, in a scenario such as you've described, would payment go to a service that would be carried out, or?
Well, it'd probably be, yeah, it'd be, I mean, it'd be a matter of paying a, some kind of pest control company.
Exactly,
and,
okay.
And or, you know, it, well, in the particular example of carpet beetles, it's not just a question
right.
of pest, it's not just pest control, but it's also that you've got, and this is really a problem. This, if I can just, like, completely lay it out there, the real problem is it's not just a matter of paying about, I don't know, like $1,000 or something to a pest control company
right.
to come
right.
treat, but it's also that the entire flooring in the house really
that,
needs to be
that's
replaced.
Exactly
you've got
right.
to, you've got to destroy the habitat for,
right.
for the insects that are attacking these kids. And so, you know, that's another, whatever, $1,500, $2,000 on top, so that the cost is a couple of $1,000s to really completely deal with the problem in a particular household. And like I say, the state has a great program for dealing with this problem if you happen to be 65 years old, or if somebody in the household is disabled. But if you don't meet those two criteria.
Right. We give in our human services budget an awfully large portion of that money goes to JACA.
Well,
what I'm saying is, isn't this something JACA could handle? Or
well, and I mean, I think it, I don't know about just at the moment, but at times JACA has been the local agency that has run the state program that I'm talking about, but because the funding mandates from the state
right,
are.
But we give JACA a huge amount.
Well, here's my point is that Michelle was bringing up the point about whether we ought to consider expanding some of our human services budget. And what I'm saying is,
yes,
I think that's worth considering doing. I think we should consider the question of whether some additional contribution to our own affordable
fund.
Housing
yeah.
Trust fund
yeah.
ought to be a part
mm-hmm.
of that. At the same time, I'll also say, you know, I think there's some challenges we're dealing with. There are some various development situations that are going to come before the board over the course of the next couple of months that have to do with payment in lieu issues, and that. You know, the reality that these situations are out there in our community is something that ought to factor into our total decision-making process about payments in lieu. But maybe that brings us really to item E1 on our agenda, our presentation from the Planning Board about affordable housing dialogue sessions. So anyway, I don't have a particular conclusion that I draw from all of that, but I just wanted to kind of bring it to the board's attention as something that is worthy of consideration.
Thank you all.
Okay. Anything else on the budget?
Is there anything being done, like, right now for this particular family that we could encourage people to do?
I know our state senator, Allie Kinnaird, is actually talk about constituent service. Our state senator, Ellie Kinnaird, is actually working on trying to find some resources to help with this. And I think if somebody's interested in helping out and dealing with this particular situation, that contacting Senator Kinnaird's office would be the way to find out how you could help, how you could contribute to help with a particular situation.
Okay.